I've met a number of people who are either coming back from being snowbirds or are starting to come up to their cabins now, so just very, very quickly. My name is Paul Jorgensen. I am serving as interim pastor here at Timberwood as Timberwood looks for a new senior pastor. I live in Bemidji, and I teach at Mokahum Discipleship Ministry on the Leech Lake Reservation, and that's all you need to know about me. We got a great morning that we're going to be having. I love these mornings because in addition to Timberwood being involved in this area, in the Brainerd Lakes area, Timberwood partners with people who are working around the world in the kingdom of God. And just recently, our mission team made a decision to bring on a new partner, Rachel and Oleg Zook. And she is here with us this morning. And I'm going to ask you to come up, Rachel. We're going to talk about their ministry and hopefully you get a chance to learn a little bit about what God is doing in the Ukraine, which right now is a part of the world that's going through some difficulties. So I'm so glad you're here. This is great.
Yeah, I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, why don't you have a chair and we're just going to talk. Somebody was making fun of me. This is like one of those TV shows where you interview somebody like an actor or somebody, but this is good. This is good. Anyway, yeah. Rachel, so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from and that type of thing?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Mora, Minnesota, which is south, kind of about an hour and a half straight north of the cities, basically. And I attended a small Baptist church there. We had like about 50 people. And grew up there, and that was a really great small town family atmosphere to grow up in. And so I was able to be involved with children's ministry even from a young age and helping out with that. And was blessed with great parents and great family who introduced me to the Lord early on in life. And
hello,
yeah,
so my name is Oleg,
really
and I'm Rachel's husband.
A great blessing to me.
I think you need to tell your husband to quit talking. He's coming later.
That's for later,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of my backstory. And then I ended up attending college at University of Wisconsin, River Falls, where I majored in teaching English as a second language, which I hope to use some of those skills in ministry moving forward. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on, our plans for ministry moving forward. And I was recently married this past August to a Ukrainian man, and he was born and raised in Poltava, Ukraine. And so I think I have a slide here with a map of Ukraine, and you can see kind of where Poltava is, and that's where we're based now as well. So, yeah, that's us, our backstory a little bit.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a little bit about your calling to this, because you were raised in Mora, okay? And now you're moving to Poltava, and I don't know a lot, but I'm looking, and Russia isn't all that far away.
Right.
So your calling to ministry, how did that come about, Rachel?
So my calling to ministry, it's actually pretty amazing how God works, because my calling started actually before I was born in some way. And today is Mother's Day, which is kind of funny because actually that's how God used my mother first to as part of my calling to Ukraine. My mom was the first person in our family to travel to Ukraine. She went on a short-term mission trip. There used to be this sister church program that operated where churches in the U.S. would have a partner church in Ukraine, and they would send a team every other summer usually. And my mom got involved with that first and really felt this love and passion for Ukraine after that trip. And that was before I was born, before she was even married. And then she came back home. Her and my father were dating at the time, and she told my dad all about it. And he also, she kind of ignited a passion in him. And with time, they went to Ukraine together as a couple. Well, first my dad went, and then with time, they went to Ukraine together as a couple, and they decided to bring my brother and I along with them. And you can see here, this is my first trip to Ukraine. I was 9, going on 10 here. And yeah, from the very first moment I went, I really just felt this love for the people and this connection to Ukraine that I can't really describe it any other way than I really believe that God was preparing my heart for future ministry in Ukraine. And so That was kind of my background experience. I decided to start learning Ukrainian, and I was able to teach myself Ukrainian and understand it pretty well. And then with time, as I grew up, I went to college. I started to just think about what I'm going to do after college and what, you know, I didn't feel like working in my profession. I didn't feel like that was it, and I still just felt this love for Ukraine, this connection and this pull towards missions there. So that's when I began to think and pray about seriously consider moving to Ukraine and doing that full time. And after lots of prayers and discernment, I really believe that that's where God wants me, and that's where He's called me. And I saw how He provided all throughout the preparation period, and He got me over there. And I see His blessings now as I'm there too. So, yeah, that's just really amazing how God uses those connections and even our early childhood experiences to stir that up in our hearts, to stir up the desire to serve Him. And
We heard a lot about Ukraine in the news for a while, and then the news cycle changes, of course, but the conflict is still happening there. But can you tell us a little bit about a lot of the needs in the Ukraine? I mean, why is it so important for you and for Oleg to be there?
Yeah, so obviously Ukraine is going through a very, very difficult period right now. Ukraine is, most of the people there would say that they're Orthodox Christians, but for them that's very much more about tradition rather than personal relationship with Christ. And so besides the fact that there's all of these horrible things happening in Ukraine because of the war, there's also the added factor that many of these people have no personal relationship with Christ, and they don't have that foundation, that basis to get them through these things. And while we aren't located directly in the war zone, we're about 3 hours away from where there's active fighting, there's still drone attacks, bombing all throughout the country. And so Ukrainians really do live with this constant stress and worry about what's next and what's going to happen to them. And there's many things, as you can imagine, many different things related to war that have come up. There's lots of economic difficulties and struggles. Most people are just trying to make ends meet and live kind of day to day. There's also lots of problem with addictions. When people don't have that foundation to turn to, when they don't have Christ, they turn to other things to try and cope with all of these stresses and traumas. So that's something that we see a lot of. And also, as you can imagine, lots of just anxiety, depression, PTSD, trauma. Pretty much all, every Ukrainian has experienced trauma in some form or another, whether that's actual active fighting that they saw, or whether that's the loss of a loved one due to the war, or whether many people have husbands and sons and brothers fighting in the war. So there's just a lot of hurt, uncertainty, and hopelessness is what we're seeing. So our vision is to bring light to Ukraine in these dark times, to share the light of Christ with young people, because we believe that Christ is the only way to help them with these problems. Christ is what they're truly needing, and relationship with Him, and the only way for them to find true healing and transformation is in Him. And so we want to help them find hope through Christ, security, relationship with Christ and with the body of Christ, and just peace in their lives where they can know that their future is secure, because that's one of the main things, is that they have this constant instability and insecurity of never knowing what's next and what's going to happen. And the only way for us to really have true security is in Christ, and Oleg and I know that, and so we want to share that with them and help them see that and experience that in their own lives.
You're an American. How do people respond to you being an American and being there?
Yeah. Most people that I encounter are very, impacted. They think that it's very meaningful that somebody from the United States would come to live in Ukraine during these times. Many people ask me why I would come to Ukraine. I think, you know, the believers there, they understand, but when I encounter non-believers and talk to them, they really can't understand why somebody who has experienced life in the U.S., which in their mind, life in the U.S. is like, wow, like that's top level, that's, you know, luxury, comfortable, everything you could ever want, and they don't understand why somebody would give that up and come to live in Ukraine and experience all of these hardships with them. And so they, most people that I talk to are very interested in hearing why I'm there and very grateful that somebody cares. It means so much to them when they hear or meet foreigners who, you know about the war and who express care and love towards them. That means so much to them because it's kind of an isolating thing for them over there, this war, in many ways. So, yeah, most people that I encounter are very grateful and happy to meet me.
It sounds to me from what you said like just your presence itself ministers to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, God definitely uses that too.
Yeah. You talked about all these needs. How are you and Oleg? What is your ministry? What exactly do you do?
Yeah, so our vision is to help youth and orphans know God as their Heavenly Father and find healing and transformation in Him. And in the past, we've done various types of things. We've done Bible study groups. We've done helped with summer camps, ministering to youth. We've done just youth groups, clubs where we play games and build relationships with the kids. And we've really seen God working in people there. Young people are really hungry for just hope, meaning in life. One guy who came to our Bible study, I think I have a picture of him on here. There he is in the on the right side, in the uniform. He attended one of our Bible studies that we had last year. And he served for a year in the Ukrainian army before he was badly injured and ended up losing his arm. And he, after that, he wanted to actually rejoin the military. That's where he found, you know, that's where he felt he had purpose and meaning, and he wanted to join the military again, but they would not let him. After that, he tried to find a job in the civilian sphere, but once again, it was hard to find anybody who would employ him, and the jobs he could find didn't pay nearly enough for what he would need to actually live on that salary. And so he entered into really this deep depression, hopelessness, feeling like he had no purpose in life, that he didn't matter. And that's about the time that we met him. My husband and I were just going on a walk through the city and ended up seeing him on the sidewalk walking towards us. And my husband really felt that he wanted to go and thank him for his service. And so we walked up to him and introduced ourselves and thanked him. And my husband and him were able to have a really great conversation. And my husband ended up inviting him to coffee. And he accepted, and they were able to go. And my husband shared Christ with him and invited him to our Bible study that we were having, and he was really receptive towards it, and he decided to start coming. And we really saw God do great transformation in his life. When he came to us, he was really lost, asking a lot of questions about what's the true meaning to life, and if there is a God, and if God is good, why would he allow all of these horrible things to be happening, and all sorts of questions like that, these type of deep, thought-provoking things. And so we walked him through that, and my husband especially discipled him and had lots of personal conversations with him. And in time, we saw change in him, a new openness that he wanted this relationship with God that we talked about. And he ended up accepting Christ And we saw how he just had a new light within him, a new hope. He started, you know, being more active in our discussions and really just opening up and sharing more about his life with us. And we saw that he had ambitions and plans for the future. If before he was kind of just hanging out in his apartment, not really doing much of anything, now we see that he's ambitious in life. He would like to get involved in politics, and he's working on that right now. And he wants to change his country and community through politics. And so that's really cool to see how God gave him new purpose in life. And now he's excited about life and wanting to do that together with God. So that's just one way that we've seen God work. And it's really awesome to be able to witness that and to have a small part in that.
Isn't it fun when you get to see God transform people and you get to be a part of it?
Yes, yeah, it's amazing, and it's an amazing privilege, for sure.
What does a ministry week look like for you and Oleg? What do you do?
Yeah, so we're kind of entering into a new stage in our ministry, so it's a little bit hard to answer right now. We're in a transition period, but when I go back to Ukraine, we want to start a new initiative that is English clubs. That's basically just a time where we can invite young people to come learn English with us. That's a huge draw for young people in Ukraine. Many of them want to learn English to be able to have better jobs and potentially travel and things like that. And so the idea is to be able to draw the young people to us and help them learn English, but at the same time, build relationships with them, and then on the basis of those personal relationships, to share Christ with them, and to eventually invite them to our Bible study and have them help them to learn more deeply about God through that, and hopefully disciple them and help integrate them into the local church. And so that's kind of our vision moving forward when I go back, and we're working on the curriculum and the planning. So what we would like to do is to have two English clubs that meet twice a week, so four sessions a week in the evening probably when students are done with school and studies, and then to have our Bible study, one Bible study to start with, and we'll see if there's need to do another one. And then during the day, we would really like to be able to meet one-on-one with the people who come to our Bible study, who come to English Club, and to just hang out with them and build that relationship and that trust with them, because in the past, we've seen that that's what works the best, is to build that friendship first. And once you have that, then they'll want to come to our events and to Bible study, and then they're usually much more open. When you begin to speak into their life and ask them spiritual questions, they're very open, if they already have that trust with you, to explore those questions. So, yeah, that's...
What's the hardest thing for you about ministering in the Ukraine? We talk about all this positive stuff, but there's hard stuff, too.
Yeah. I think that in general... as I kind of explained, the situation of the war and what's going on in Ukraine, I think that that's what's most difficult for me, is that the general atmosphere is very emotionally draining. And so, like, when you're working with people and talking to them and hearing about their lives, they can share some really hard things with you, really challenging things, situations that they went through. And they're kind of looking to you to help them process those things and to have some answer. And sometimes it's very difficult to know what to say, or just in general, it's just exhausting for me to be continually dealing with these really hard negative emotions. And yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but it feels in many ways like there's kind of just a dark cloud over Ukraine right now, and things just feel heavy. And so I noticed that when I came back here, I felt physically, almost physically, relief. And so that's one thing I think that's probably the most difficult. Yeah.
Hitchhiking on that. How can we pray for you and Oleg?
Yeah, so I think first of all, probably the most obvious is for an end to this war. Ukrainians are really exhausted. It's been going on 4 years now. And that's the main thing, is that we're praying together with the Ukrainian people for an end to this war and this bloodshed and for God's mercy there. And then for Oleg and us, and I personally and our family, we really appreciate any prayers for our protection and safety. As I mentioned, we aren't directly in the active, like where there's active fighting per se, but we've had missiles that land in our city where we're at. We've had drone attacks in our city, and we've had civilians die close to us. So that's always a risk that we deal with, and we're so appreciative of prayers for our safety. That's so important to us. And I think also for our spiritual growth, as I said, we're kind of entering into a new phase of our lives and ministry together. In the past, Oleg and I have generally, we've joined ministries that already existed at our church and helped them and had more of a supporting role. And now we feel that God is leading us into starting our own initiative with these English clubs. And so in some ways, that's a step for us. And so we appreciate prayers for our hearts and our preparation to do this well, and also for our marriage, that God would give us a strong basis there as well and continue to grow that. And then that God would just bless us with the right young people in our groups, that he would bring the right people and that they would have open hearts and be willing to hear and accept the gospel, that he would work in their hearts. And yeah, those are the main things, I think.
It's good stuff.
Yes.
My understanding is that Oleg cannot be here with you because he's 23 years old and male and is not allowed to leave the Ukraine. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. He is 24 years old.
24.
But men, all men over the age of 23 can't leave. So.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. However, as you saw earlier when he interrupted, we do have a video from him. And can we show that? Just let Oleg speak about it.
Hello. My name is Oleg, and I'm Rachel's husband. Thank you so much for taking a moment to let me introduce myself. Many of you already know Rachel and her heart for serving in Ukraine. You've seen her love for young people and her desire to share the hope of Christ. And I'm so thankful that God brought our lives together. For me, marrying Rachel has been not only a personal blessing, but also a beautiful reminder that God brings people together for his purpose. I'm from central Ukraine, from the Poltava region, and I grew up in a Christian family. But when I was 16, I made my own decision to follow Jesus. And from that moment, my faith became deeply personal. Since 2017, I have been serving in youth ministry through Bible studies, evangelism, youth events, and partnerships with local churches. One of the greatest joys in my life has been seeing young people come to Christ and watching God change their lives. And in this season of war, that ministry matters more than ever. Ukraine is going through deep pain right now. There is uncertainty, grief, and brokenness all around us. But even in the middle of that, we see open hearts. Young people are searching for hope. They are asking real questions. They are open to truth. And we believe this is a very important moment to serve them with the love of Jesus. We also carry a deep burden for orphans and vulnerable youth. So many of them have been deeply affected by war, loss, and instability. Our heart is to be present, to care for them, and to remind them that they are not forgotten. A verse that encourages us in this season is Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. This is how we want to live, with faith, with endurance, and with open hands for whatever God wants to do. Thank you so much for taking the time to get to know me. Thank you for loving Ukraine, for praying, and for caring about this ministry. We are truly grateful, and it would be a privilege to partner with you in what God is doing here. God bless you.
We got to figure out a way to get him here and have him preach. That would be
great.
Yeah.
He would love that.
That's great.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for Rachel and Oleg, if I could, and ask that you would simply join me in prayer. I'm going to ask that we stand and you allow me to pray for you and your ministry. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for Oleg and Rachel and the calling you have put on their lives to bring your light and your goodness and your gospel to a place that can be very dark. I want to thank you for calling Rachel and calling Oleg at two separate times in two separate places, and you brought them together. And I want to pray for these things that they've mentioned. I want to ask you to bring an end to the conflict and to the fighting there. I want to ask you to bring healing to the effects of this fighting. I want to ask that you protect Rachel and Oleg, as while they're not living in the combat zone itself, there is danger there. And just protect them, help them. Help them in their new marriage, only being married now for about 8 months. I want to ask that you continue to help them to grow together, to grow in you, and to grow spiritually. And then give them fruit in their efforts. Give them fruit for in these English classes and Bible studies and recreational things they do in discipling people. Let them see your hand at work. And we thank you for this young man that they have reached out to, who was injured in the war, and now he's a committed follower of you. Thank you for using the two of them to do that. And I pray that in these last few days while Rachel is here in the U.S., that you would simply give her a chance to be ready, to be prepared, to be rested, to head back over to join her husband again. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank
you so much. Would you be willing to sit back down again? We got this clock in the back, and it says I still got 7 minutes, so I'm gonna come at you. Oh, first of all, I do want to let you know that Rachel and her parents, and by the way, thank you for taking Mother's Day to come and be here. They have a display out in the gathering space, and I'd encourage you to go take a look. They've got literature, and if you have questions for them, you can ask those questions and find out more about them. One of the things we want to do at Timberwood is really develop relationships with our global partners and get to know them better, because that's going to help us pray for them and support them better. Now, the question is, okay, they're over in the Ukraine, I'm here, I'm in Nisswa, okay, how does that all fit together? There's a marvelous verse in the end of the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, which Jesus says this. He says, all authority has been given to me, okay? In other words, I call the shots, not you, all right? All authority has been given to me. Therefore, because all the authority has been given to him, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And the beautiful thing about that is we can do that anywhere. We can do that anywhere. We can do that where we live. And we can be involved with people like Rachel and Oleg, or Hashes when they were here last year, with what they're doing. You say, well, how do we get involved with something like that? As a former church planter overseas, I just want to share three things with you that are helpful. Number one, pray for them. Now, you have these wonderful little cards with your picture on them, and it's got some prayer requests on them. I hope all those cards disappear this morning. Everybody takes them home for their refrigerator, your bulletin board, your dashboard on your car, whatever. But make a point of praying for them. I'm not going to jump into stories because we heard stories from Rachel this morning, but I can guarantee you there are things that happen on the mission field and other places that can only be explained because people are praying. Wouldn't you agree? Yeah, it's amazing. But we need to provide that support. Okay, my understanding was, and I hope I got the numbers right on this, for every one person that was on the battlefield in World War II, there were 15 people supporting them. we can be part of the 15 supporting somebody. So first thing is to pray for them and pray for them regularly. Second thing is to give. They're in a situation, they are and others are, where they can't necessarily get jobs. They need financial support. And I would just encourage us to be generous in our giving. And, you know, I'm comfortable sharing this. My understanding is from talking to Rachel that they still need approximately $800 a month in support so that they can live a life in that environment. And we can do something about that. So I just want to encourage you to think about that, consider that, pray about that. But it's something we can do to make a difference. And the third thing, go. Whatever going looks like. It might mean going across the street with a hot dish to your neighbor. That could very well be. It might mean going to a nursing home or a hospital to visit somebody. It might be going to another country to get involved in a ministry there, but let's be careful not to say no to God, because God will do amazing things through us if we're simply willing to be involved with what he's doing. I'm so excited about some things that are happening at Timberwood. I know we're sending a team to Detroit this summer. Praise God. That's great. And it may be that we've got somebody here where God has kind of been hinting at your heart a little bit about maybe there's another place for you, a place where he wants to use you. Don't sell him short. Sharon likes to laugh at me because I have a tendency to make these pronouncements like, we're never going to do that. And all these things that I've said never to, God has said, well, we'll just see about that. And I end up doing these things, and we see God get the glory. So I would just encourage you to take a look at your own life and get involved with making disciples overseas by praying, by giving, by going and watching what God is going to do. Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for us and ask the worship team to come up and join us and get ready to lead us in a couple of worship songs, which I think will be great. But let's pray together. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for the people that you sent to us to show us about your love for us, to show us who you are. Thank you for parents. Thank you for moms and dads, maybe brothers, cousins, coworkers, neighbors, others who took the step and introduced us to you. Thank you for those people. Bless them richly today. And help us, Father, to be people who are willing to go and who are willing to make disciples, whatever that looks like in our lives, to make a difference. Thank you again for Rachel and Oleg, for Rachel's parents, for their willingness to be here today. But help us, to each one of us, to find our place in your kingdom to accomplish your work for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.